Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, Charlottesville, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. I'm your host, Andy.
Alex.
Mark.
And Christian.
No Goma this week? No Alex Goma?
No, nothing fancy with the names this week.
No Daniel this week.
No Daniel this week. So first and foremost, this is a special show. It's 90 minutes long. So if you're tuning in for EJR Radio, we will be off air. Our show will be off air and back on to normal resuming EJR activity at around about 7:30. And also, quick announcement, next Sunday, the derbies. We have the Liverpool versus Everton and the Manchester United versus Manchester City derbies next Sunday. We will be at Cardinal Hall from 9 a.m. Please do join us. I think we've got goal nets for the kids. Other activities.
It's going to be a really fun event.
And I do believe Aromas Cafe will have members of the club there too. So it'll be an awesome day out. So let's get right on to it. We had midweek games this week.
So much has happened since we've all been last together, right?
You know,
the whole world.
I was vain enough to listen to the podcast. I think it was on Friday. And it feels like that was like a few weeks ago. Because we were talking, I mean, last week's show, Dan was mentioning what a dumpster fire Everton was.
Not anymore.
Right.
The Big Sam effect.
All right, so let's roll. So we had Tuesday, the 28th of November, we had Leicester versus Spurs. And it was 2-1 to Leicester.
Yeah, so this one didn't really go the way a Spurs fan would like, myself included, of course.
Ha.
This one reminded me a bit of the glory days for Leicester, one of those crazy games they would have 2 years ago when they made a run at the title and obviously won it. Vardy got things going with an amazing strike, cross in from Albrighton, and Vardy just volleys it. Didn't even look like there was anything there for him to be volleying at, and loops it over Lloris for one of the goals of the season. And then Spurs, I mean, we had chances to level and to get back in the game. Sissoko had a chance. He's improved this year, Sissoko, but he's still not what he should be and not what he is when he plays for France. For whatever reason, he just plays better for France. And so, there were a couple other chances. Mahrez got a second one for Leicester to go up two, and then Kane gets one back. To make it 2-1, that's the final score. But we had chances at the end. Eriksen missed a sitter from a head down from Uente, and Uente himself missed one.
Oh, really bad, really bad sitter there.
Yeah, it was a cross from Aurier coming from the right, and I guess he's right-footed, so he tries to kind of go with the outstep of his right foot instead of just using his left. I honestly think he could have just tapped it in with the left. Another loss for Spurs. Spurs are not looking great right now. Their run of form, they're definitely dipping.
They've lost 4 matches this year, as many as they did all of last year.
Which is crazy. I mean,
In December. That happened in November.
Do you think this is a Champions League hangover?
Well, that was what they were talking about on the broadcast, that maybe Champions League is a distraction. Maybe they're just not up for Premier League. I mean, the reality is that I think that they're up for these games. Are they distracted? I mean, maybe. I mean, I would say, like, if you're in the Europa League, you're maybe distracted as well. I mean, the key here, though, is this is a midweek game. There was no Champions League game
right. Until
it was, you know, it was a week prior.
No, I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is that you guys have played some pretty top-level teams in Champions League. It has to be wearing on you. You know,
yeah,
your Dortmund, your Real Madrid.
Like, we played both of them twice now.
You guys are stepping it up, and you know, can you handle those fixtures?
I mean, clearly we're handling the Champions League fixtures. We won the group. We're playing well from that perspective. But I will definitely admit that when you see a team like, I don't know, West Brom last week, granted Leicester, you know, they've won the league recently, but these are lower teams, obviously, than Real Madrid. I mean, so is basically every other club in the world, practically. And maybe they have trouble getting up for these games. I mean, I don't know if I buy into the rhetoric. It's easy to say it and point the finger at it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot I think you can unpack on Spurs' inability to win league games right now. Bringing up Champions League is an interesting thing, although I don't think their group is as strong in reality as it was when the year began. I mean, we look at Real Madrid being the biggest club in the world. They're not great this year. Borussia Dortmund has just been... has completely fallen apart in the last 2 to 3 months. I don't know how the manager's still...
They've fallen apart in the last 2 to 3 years.
Yeah,
well, they keep on selling everybody.
It's not the same club, but this year, I mean, they were in first place at the beginning of October, and now they're in sixth overall. I thought Spurs came out in a very aggressive manner. It was a 3-6-1 formation, so I figured you guys were up for it. And running with Leicester can be dangerous, and it proved to cost Spurs. Again, the fourth loss this year, it's stunning to think that that's how many games they lost all of last year.
Let's not take anything away from Leicester, though.
Absolutely not.
Mahrez and Vardy getting on the score sheet, it was almost like Leicester of old. That little chip over of the goalkeeper by Vardy was just a wonder goal.
Mahrez was so good, it turned his hair blonde. I couldn't believe it. It was like shocking to see him today on the pitch. Yesterday, I was like, wow, that's a superpower there. Leicester look really good.
Which they haven't for most of the season, really. If you look at them, they're not like doing great in the table necessarily.
Right.
And I mean, right now they've climbed up a little ways, but they're still not doing great. They're ninth place right now after the games this weekend as well. So they're in the top half of the table, but that's the first time in a while for them.
Vardy does love scoring goals against top six sides. He always seems to come through. So it's good to see him. I keep wondering why they can't move him on to another club because I don't know what good it does to keep him around. They could survive without him. But
I mean, they wanted to keep him. Why would they move him on?
I think at his age and his wage and where they're going, I mean, you'd think he'd want more than what Leicester have to offer him at this point, no?
Well, I mean...
he turned down Arsenal.
Yeah, he turned down a couple clubs, exactly, 2 years ago and last year as well. And, you know, we're not making the decisions for him, obviously. I think that... it's the right club for him. I mean, you have a starting position in the Premier League for one of the better teams in Leicester. You won the league. Could you go to Arsenal? Sure. But what kind of minutes would you get with Lacazette there and Giroud? Or, you know, anywhere else you go, you're going to have trouble getting the squad. With Leicester, he's the first guy on the team sheet.
And it is a World Cup year.
Yeah, exactly.
So all players have to be wary of that.
Right. Let's move on, guys. So we have Brighton versus Palace, which was 0-0. Not really much to talk about. Did you have anything, Alex, on that game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was actually better than the scoreline says of a game. Matt Ryan had a really nice double save early on. It was kind of crazy. It was like a long ball up from Hennessy up to Benteke, who headed down to Zaha. The ball kind of got away from Zaha, but right to Benteke, takes a shot from the top of the box. Saved by Ryan. Zaha there to clean it up in theory and put it away in the net. But no, Brady comes out of, or Ryan, sorry, I should say, comes out of nowhere and gets the save. I mean, there were a couple other ones, like Dunk almost had one off a corner with like a back heel. That would have been a cheeky goal. Stevens, I mean, there were a number of different chances. Even Glenn Murray had a chance. But there was a man on the post right there to block it. So, I mean... as you normally see with a 0-0 game, it's the scoreline isn't all that as it may indicate, but it was a decent game.
All right.
Yeah, and there was more to this match than I think in the score that you can talk about. I didn't realize that this was somewhat of a derby between Brighton and Palace, that there's some heat there. The Palace supporters snuck fireworks in to the grounds and were setting them off once the play was going against Brighton. So it was interesting to have this weird element going on in the stands, and then apparently the ushers were a little aggressive with the Palace away supporters. But Palace, they have yet to score a goal on the road this year, and this was their first away point of the year as well. So again, Palace, and now we have the hindsight or the ability to go forward in time to see now they're no longer at the bottom of the table. It's very interesting to see how they continue to grow with their players getting healthy.
And this all goes back to the FA Cup final in the 70s. I think this was like 78 or something like that. It was a crazy game that happened between the two of them, and there was like a penalty or some weird thing that happened at the end of the game that was like really controversial. And ever since then, they've had a pretty good rivalry. Of course, they played in the Championship a few years when they were both down and trying to get up to the Premier League, and so they've had some tough rivalries I'm pretty sure Crystal Palace actually knocked Brighton out in the playoff a couple of years ago. And so they definitely have some history here. And then there were a couple, I don't know how many, a couple hundred fans that had legitimate tickets, Crystal Palace fans, that didn't get into the stadium because the ushers literally just stopped the turnstiles because there were Crystal Palace supporters that were trying to get in without tickets. The kind of thing you don't really see over here in the States, but you know, that's kind of like going back to the days of the hooliganism that you would see in the 80s, really, for England. I mean, this was
dark days for One Night in Turin during the week. Such a great documentary. I love it. Love it. Yeah, so I'm sorry, I interrupted you there. You were looking at you're talking about the rivalry.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that the rivalry goes back, and you know what, that game, it was heated. It was a heated game.
All right, guys, you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench. Don't forget, we are having a special 90-minute show this week. Today. And obviously,
an event on the 10th?
An
event on the 10th?
Yeah, I mentioned it already. But I'll mention it again, Mark. Thank you. Cardinal Hall, next Sunday for the derbies. Open at 9 a.m. We'll be there. Liverpool versus Everton's the first one, 9:15 kickoff. And then 11:30, is it, or 12:30?
11:30.
Yeah. All right, so the next game is West Brom versus Newcastle. I can't tell what's going on with both these two clubs.
That one ended 2-2, right?
2-2, yes.
Yeah.
I can't tell what's going on with these two clubs, really.
Well, West Brom is kind of having a little bit of a bounce back after losing their manager. Pulis is gone, obviously, and who's there now? Who's the new coach?
Alan Pardew.
Oh, that's right. The old Crystal Palace coach, Pardew, and Newcastle coach, for that matter.
A man who, if he were made of chocolate, would eat himself.
I could see some Matt Lauer stuff going on with Alan Pardew.
That's a weird statement.
That is a bit of a weird statement. Moving on. So,
anyway, so yeah, West Brom get up two goals.
This Pardew didn't manage this match, though, did he? He wasn't in control at that point.
Maybe the news is just breaking.
Well, he's never in control.
Yeah, that's true.
But what a goal by Kanu! Header in a crowded box. First half, Field off the cross into the box, tap in from the left of the net.
And Field is he's like from West Brom. Like,
yeah.
In the area. He's a local boy.
And then they fought back. Newcastle fought back.
Right, Newcastle.
Clark off a corner. Keeper should have saved that. And then, of course, the Johnny Evans, Ron Don duo own goal.
Yeah, it was tough that Evans got the own goal there when it was really all of Ron Don's fault, sticking his leg out on a cross that was off a set piece that really wasn't going anywhere, and it redirects off his leg, off of Evan's butt, right into the goal. It was not the prettiest of ways to lose and drop points for West Brom. Kieran Clark was acting captain with Lascelles still out, so that's the way you come back for Newcastle. Is you get your captain to rise up and score, and you know Newcastle are starting to go the opposite direction. You know, really, I thought they had a pretty good start of the season, and then more recently, they've kind of slowed down.
That ended a string of four consecutive losses for Newcastle. So you thought maybe there was a little bit of fight, especially down 0-2, to come back and draw.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Given
that, like you say, the four losses in a row.
This goes to show West Brom continue, and this is why you change managers. Obviously, there's an issue. They've dropped so many points from winning positions this year that they find themselves near the drop, and they're going to be in a real fight because next week I think there's a 6-pointer coming up.
And they did the same thing. They were up against Tottenham a week ago, and you know, Rondon's had that early goal, and Spurs came back and got points. So, yeah, I mean, this is a reoccurring theme where West Brom will drop points after getting the first goal. Usually first goal in the Premier League means that you're almost not guaranteed a victory, but you're definitely looking, sitting pretty. I'd be interested to see the stats on that. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, West Brom, they're not a great club. They're getting that new manager bounce with Pardew in charge. Right now, they're 17th after the games this weekend, 3 points above of Crystal Palace and West Ham.
All right. Any more on that game? All right, moving on. Watford versus Manchester United. It was, Manchester United being 2-4. I thought Ashley Young has to be man of the match in that game for United.
No doubt. Ashley Young, former Watford player.
Yeah.
The last time he had a brace was with Watford in 2006, and here he does it coming back to the old ground. So really cool to see.
He kind of was a little bit disrespectful. He kind of did he put his hands against his ears and go up to the Watford end?
You think he's friends with Rocket Man, Elton John?
Who? Ashley Young. I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe. But yeah, so
if I were a Watford player, I would be.
That's I didn't realize he used to play for Watford, because mm-hmm. I remember him when he played for Aston Villa.
Villa, yeah.
He did. I'm looking up right now. He played 98 appearances.
Alex fact-checking me there. You
always.
Know, it's great because they actually talked
about it. Unfortunately, nobody else has a computer but Alex. Yeah. He's like staring at a screen. Like
they did talk about it during the match. I didn't even realize that he had played for Watford, to be fair.
I didn't either.
Had no idea. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's been playing since 2006 is completely shocking, because he looks like he's about, you know, 25 years
old.
Well,
actually, he's been playing for Watford in the senior team since 2003. So he's he's been around for a while. He's 32 now.
What's interesting with the United defense and these wings that they're able to play with Ashley Young and Valencia, who I don't recall started this game, because again, it feels like a year ago at this point.
it does.
The defense is so good for United that they're able to play that back three and have Matic sort of shield the back three as well. So you've got Young and Valencia just bombing upfield. It was a really interesting match and fun to watch. I mean, this was a great scoreline.
Both wingers, you know?
Yeah, they're playing more of a...
In their former clubs, they were 100% wingers.
Yeah,
they weren't
definitely.
I mean, they definitely made a good choice, though, when they brought on Deeney. And obviously, Rojo basically gave them a penalty. I mean, that was careless. And they did. I did feel like they were getting back into the game. The Corre was got the second.
Yeah, it was 3-2 at one point, yeah.
And then, of course, Lingard, who comes in and shuts up shop.
Well, that was an amazing goal. I mean, talking about goals of the season, that one's another one that's a contender. He got the ball 35, 40 yards from his own goal off of and just on the counter, and he just ran right at Watford. It was really impressive. He had four people all around him. He runs faster than Cleverley with the ball, and then he gets up to Mariappa, goes right, and it's basically right in front of the goal and shoots right past Capicelle into the goal. It was a beautiful one. I mean, that's for a counter. I mean, that's like Diego Maradona kind of esque in the World Cup 86. I'm not saying he went past as many people.
It's
but.
Funny. I was just talking about this. The World Cup draw.
We'll talk about that in a bit. I've got everything done.
Yeah. Remind me to bring up Maradona in that.
All right.
This was a big win for United and a big week for United. So good result. Very entertaining match, like I said, as a neutral in that. That was the one I was watching on Tuesday, and it was a good one.
And it was at Watford. So, you know, Watford, it's always tough to get a road win, but United did well, and they're looking strong.
The thing I don't like about United is the last few games are showing us we start strong, we go ahead, and then we just soak up the pressure. And that can work, but at times I was just sitting there like, oh, no, they're going to get back into it again. And we saw that again, and we'll get to that game, the Arsenal game, where we kind of just sat back and just soaked up the pressure.
You had to wear your De Gea jersey today, didn't you?
I know.
It's impossible to defend like these sides do defend and just parking the bus and absorbing all that pressure, like you're saying, without something eventually breaking through.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the Mourinho strategy. And it's
well, that's
been
the
that
strategy
way for
a lot of people at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, but Mourinho, but he somewhat closes up shop after he gets he's up a few goals. Like, he almost plays like an Italian coach where...
A few goals?
From a tactics
like one
perspective.
Goal.
Usually after one, I mean, but after Watford, they were up, what? Were they up three at one point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up three, and then Decore scored a second, and then basically much Lingard, like you said, got that one in.
That Decore goal was real nice. It was like mm-hmm. a cross in from Carrillo, and Decore made a nice move. He was like level with Deeney, and Deeney kind of starts to go towards the goal. He pulls back, which creates space, and then when the cross comes in, he has an amazing like toe poke, outstep of the foot, like one time shot, like coming in. It was that was nice.
All right, guys, don't forget, you can check us out on Twitter, BOTB Soccer, and we've got a poll running on air right now. Do you think that David De Gea is the best goalkeeper right now in the world? And in 67%, yes.
He's yes right now because Mr. Neuer is injured and has been for a while, so he gets my vote as yes.
Kind of I think he's actually a better goalkeeper than Neuer.
All right, guys, the time is almost 20 past 6. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. Don't forget, you're listening to a very special Blokes on the Bench. We're running till 7:30 tonight. We've got a special 90-minute show. So if you're tuning in to listen to some electronic music, just hang around until about 7:30. I'm actually a DJ, so I can't really slag off that because I love that music. Anyway, we've got a very special event coming up at Cardinal Hall this coming Sunday. 9 a.m. Two derbies: Liverpool versus Everton and Manchester United versus Manchester City.
Did we pitch them for the first match, the Arsenal match, Southampton Arsenal? I think at 7 a.m. Were they willing to open up that early?
I don't know if I'm willing to get up that early.
All right,
no,
I'll
anyway.
I'll be drinking 2 hours before you guys.
All right, guys. So don't forget, we're running polls on our Twitter page. Also, BOTB Soccer. pardon me. Is David De Gea the best goalkeeper in the world right now? And it's actually changing as we're talking. 71% say yes, and 29% say no. So it's still pretty high. And the goal is still Coutinho.
And that was me.
Was that you?
That was me.
Oh, well, there you go. Getting a vote from
the in-house vote there. Yeah.
All right, so the last game was Everton versus West Ham. What a cracker of a game. Rooney's third goal from inside his own half.
It was like
what was Joe Hart doing from Alonso?
Right?
Yeah, I'll give everything to Rooney, but Joe Hart, just dreadful.
Well, he's not starting anymore. Adrian has started this weekend, so that's what Moyes thinks of his play in this game.
Adrian had to start this match today because of being on loan against Manchester City. But I agree with you. I think Adrian's the better keeper at this point.
So, Big Sam wasn't I mean, it was kind of in circle housing of like, yeah, they knew he was got the job.
It was like
he was in the crowd.
He was in the stands, right? Yeah.
And look at the result he gets.
The spirit of Sam was there.
The spirit of Sam.
Well, let's not slag off Mr. Unsworth. I mean, he gets to go out on his shield there and get a win before he probably never gets a job again. But good for him. Wayne Rooney makes
Debbie
him
Downer. Wow.
Well, Wayne Rooney makes him look really good, right? 4-0. It's a great result.
Well, hey,
great
Wayne Rooney had made him look really bad the other seven matches or whatever it was.
Very
he was
true.
In charge, so.
Very true.
I mean, Rooney, it was kind of crazy. The first goal was a legit PK, and Rooney PK saved, and then he just heads it in, so he gets the first one. The second one looked like John Joe Kenny was going to be the one scoring there, and he just takes a swipe at it, completely misses, and he redirects the ball onto Rooney, who scores. So John Joe actually gets the assist, even though he made a complete fool of himself there. And then West Ham got a penalty with a pretty bad tackle, I thought, from Ashley Williams. Lanzini comes in and Pickford saves, and you know, I think Pickford's the clear England number one these days.
This says it all to me about West Ham, that Lanzini's the one taking the penalty kick for them. Where is the striker that should be the person to step up? I'm not slagging Lanzini off. He's a decent player, but they don't have the kind of striker who you're like, okay, you're taking this kick.
Right.
Well, I mean, yeah. So
no taker on that?
No, I agree with that. I mean, they were...
I mean, a lot of times it's the midfielder, you know, the center attacking midfielder that takes the PK.
Which is exactly what the situation was. So I'm not super critical there. IU has been playing for them, and what the big guy, what's his name? Long hair?
Andy Carroll?
Andy Carroll, yeah, sorry.
With the man bun.
Yeah.
The donkey?
Braveheart?
Yeah, he's what? He's injured again, so he's out of the squad. They played Antonio at the top this past weekend as well. I mean, there's obviously no clear striker there that is that guy. I think Lanzini's better than your lead, letting him on for.
He's okay. He plays for West Ham. How good could he possibly be?
All right, guys. So let's move on to this week.
Before we leave that, Moyes has lost all four trips to Everton, or all four matches that he's faced Everton, at a collective of, I think, 0-8. So his former club hasn't been a welcoming spot for him to return. United, Sunderland, and now West Ham.
All right. So Saturday, we start the games with Chelsea versus Newcastle, and Hazard just ripping Newcastle to shreds.
But really, things got started by Dwight Gayle.
Well, right. Well, okay, yeah, let's give it to him. The first 15 minutes, Newcastle did definitely have...
3-1 was the score for Chelsea.
And it was Courtois made a terrible... Well, he saved the first one, didn't he? And then it kind of bounced out, and Gayle was just able
to tap it. I think Alonso was really at fault there more than anyone, if you're going to blame anyone. He, like, passed back to Courtois for some reason. Instead of just... He could have cleared it out or he... Or whatever but he passed back to Courtois. That basically put him in a spot of trouble, and there's an oncoming Newcastle player there, so he has to kind of save it because the guy gets a touch on it, and then it goes right to Gayle, who puts it home, who's right next to Alonso again. I mean, that one I thought was more Alonso than it was Courtois, and you know, Hazard could have had a hat trick easily. That dude Darlow, the goalie for Newcastle, had a decent game, making some saves.
Decent game. He should have been penalized as well.
You thought so on that one against
Morata? Absolutely. Comes over the top of him. I'm shocked that that wasn't called. And it's funny, you go counter to Andy, who was praising Hazard to talk about Dwight Gayle, and obviously he did open the scoring. Chelsea looked like champions in this match, down 1-0. And granted, it is Newcastle, but you can only beat those teams that you play. I thought they looked fantastic once they got going. Morata and Hazard, that's just class. Those two guys together, it's very dangerous.
But I thought who was playing really well. Well, actually the whole tactics I thought were kind of interesting for Chelsea. They were doing a lot of long balls from the back, from defenders, as Azpilicueta had a couple in. Rudiger was the one that had the ball in for the one, which was the questionable. Is there a PK here by Darlow on Fabrega? I'm sorry, on Morata, and it was happening again and again. I mean, they got the equalizer. Was an Azpilicueta pass into the box, which is then blocked by the defenders, and it came right to Hazard, who then kicks it into the ground, as we were talking earlier, and then it bounced over the goalie in semi-lucky fashion, I would say.
What do you think of the second goal? Is that a fair goal, or was there a foul there by Morata?
Definite foul by Morata. Morata pushed the guy in the back.
I thought he had, obviously had his arms on him. I don't know if there was a push, but I can see it either way.
The guy didn't get the ball, which was like around 6 feet off the ground, and he was on the ground. So something ain't right when he's not heading that ball. And as Morata clearly pushed him over, I thought. And then Hazard gets... was there another one after that?
Hazard gets the penalty kick.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the penalty. Yeah.
Amazing. Right. Just beautiful.
So where does this put Chelsea? Because if United don't win against City... They go second.
So funny you bring that up. That's exactly my note on this match at the end of it. That's how close Chelsea are, and nobody's talking about it. It's crazy. United, I think Daniel brought up about last week about how great the start is for United. It's only dwarfed by how amazing City have played. Chelsea are right there. And any other year, it would be Chelsea on top of this pyramid at this point, but there's two Manchester clubs who have taken the world by storm.
Yeah, 15 games in, Chelsea have 10 wins, 2 draws, 3 losses, 32 points, 9 points off the pace for Man City after the weekend.
So they would just go level with United.
They'd go level with United.
11 points off the pace. Bad math there.
The only thing I think, and we'll get to that game, is we can hope United, for me as a United supporter, is we get a draw, but I don't see that happening. Anyway, so West Brom versus Crystal Palace. It was a nil-nil draw, but did anyone get anything from this game?
The fact that Palace is no longer on the floor. I mean, that's where I keep banging that drum, that they're going to get out of this somehow. I hope they prove me right. I need to put a few quid on this to make it worth my time. But the fact that they got out of this with a point and they move on, the players are getting healthy. Benteke had a lot of chances in this match. I shouldn't say a lot of chances. He had his chances in this match and didn't finish. So I don't know if he's in form yet. If he gets into form, Palace could definitely get out of this and make their year worthwhile. I like where they're going.
All right, so we have to move on to the next game, Watford versus Spurs. Pass it over to our Tottenham fan, Alex.
Yes, another game that, you know, I was a little nervous going into this one. Watford have been playing pretty well, other than that United loss in the midweek. Watford are doing pretty well. They're like eighth in the table right now. And going in, and obviously on the road, that's going to be a tough one as well. Things didn't go off pretty well. Capicelli got a goal off the off a corner from Cleverley. And really just outran Dyer nowhere to be found, outjumped Kane because he's flat-footed there. It was a classic kind of set-piece goal. Before then, you know, Kane had a PK shout that, you know, he got clipped from behind off a cross from Trippier, which never happened. I mean, we were talking earlier about Decore. He also had like a blast from distance. You know, I think that was probably a little bit more commentary we can have on him.
Yeah, he was unlucky. I thought the official was terrible in this match. This match was way too physical, and I don't think he did a good job with it.
Yeah, so eventually, I mean, there's a Davinson Sanchez gets a red card, I guess is what you're alluding to. Elbow to the face. But really, I mean, after that, there were a number of yellows for Watford, and there could have easily been a second yellow for two or three players at certain times. I was actually semi-surprised in the end that it wasn't both teams playing with 10 men. Son, Heung-min's son, did get one back with a nice counterattack. So what happened was, and this was like another questionable call, which we should talk about with the ref, where...
We should talk about it with the ref?
We should talk about the decision.
I don't think the ref's here.
Hey, we should call him up. We should call him up. You know, hear what he has to say. No, so Davis clears out, I think it was Richarlison, with like body a little bit. It was really bad. Like, basically, Watford like dinked the ball into the box, and for some reason, both Vertonghen and Davis let the ball bounce, which is something you should just never do as a defender in the box. And then when that happens, Richarlison kind of comes in and clears them out with the body. Mm. And then after that, Davis clears him out with the body, and then we start going running the other way, and ultimately it goes Trippier to Eriksen over to Son to level it 1-1. And, yeah, I mean, based on the way that the game went, I mean, I think I would say 1-1 I would not have been happy with going in. I obviously want the win against teams like this. But with the way, with the red and the 52nd minute, I mean, we had to play down for basically the 40 minutes of the game, with 10 men. I mean, it was a hard fought draw.
Was there a good call on the handball by Dyer? I say handball because I think it was a handball.
It was a handball.
Yeah.
It was a handball.
Watford hard done there.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. So we have the red card and then the Dyer handball at the end. I mean, we were lucky to get a point.
Spurs, it's just crazy, and we talked about it earlier in the show. This was they've only won one league match in their last six. They haven't won an away match since September.
It's crazy.
This is Spurs. I mean, we've talked 6 weeks ago about Pochettino being an elite manager, and here we are with this club not doing what we expect of them to do. Was our expectation wrong?
Well, okay, so I ask you this. Is it an overstatement to say that the wheels are falling off? Or is that are we just
I think that's an overstatement when you're top of the Champions League group. You know, you're beating Real Madrid, you're beating Dortmund. I think that's an overstatement. The wheels are falling off of teams like Everton, and you know, up to like a week or two ago.
The wheels have been.
But the wheels are back on. Yeah. The wheels are back on.
The car's not moving. They're Flintstoning it.
All right. So I think it's harsh to say that, but I think that they're underperforming in the league for sure.
Okay.
Right.
And you still got the second half of the season to kind of put
yourself
back in the
four. There's plenty of time. I mean, they're back up to sixth now with, so they're level on points with Burnley.
There's plenty of time for you guys to be mediocre. I mean,
ouch. Yeah. Ouch. But the good news is that, you know, we're still right there in the running for everything. I mean, Liverpool right now, they have 29 points and they're in fourth place. Spurs 4 points off the pace. It's not an insurmountable amount of points there. And, you know, fourth place is going to be a tough one. Liverpool, Arsenal, Tottenham, all vying for that spot, for that final Champions League spot.
We're going to win the Europa League, so figure top four out.
Alex, what's your...
We're going to win the Champions League, so, you know.
Alex, what's your goal then for Spurs this year? What do you ultimately want for the team for the 2017-18 season?
I want to win one of the cups, FA... Champions, obviously unlikely on champions.
Yeah, you guys need to get some type of like winning culture into that club, and I think that would help for next year.
Yeah, and then I think top four for Premier League is what we need.
Is it crushing if they don't finish top four? Does that result in a loss of talent?
If we are not top four and we don't win a cup, I don't know about crushing, but it certainly isn't where we want to be. Given that we went from third to second last year, and you know we've basically been moving up towards that title contender spot, you know, really I think the problem is that the team's a little thin. They've had some injuries. Wanyama's been injured. Lamela is only just now getting back in the squad for the first time in a year.
We didn't talk about his nice hockey assist the other day.
Yeah, I mean,
he did contribute to that.
And he actually did get the assist.
He did get the assist.
He rolled it on to Kane for the goal against Leicester to bring him back to 2-1. He played in this game as well. He still looks a little rusty, but I think he's the kind of player that can make a difference, and I was saying that break down squads that are kind of packing in the box. But really, it looks as though we needed like another winger. Dele Alli is not playing where we thought he would be at this point. I think he's probably
had a pretty poor season.
Yeah, exactly. I think that if you want to point fingers at underperformers, I mean, you have to point directly at him first. I mean, it sucks because he's one of my favorite players on the team. and one with a lot of promise. So, you know, he's had a tough run of form. But really, I mean, I think that what they just need, like, Llorente is good, but he's not like a goal scorer. He's more like a goal creator. And so he looks almost like Soldado is kind of like the kind of player he's of his ilk.
There's a name from the past. Wow.
Yeah. So that was a real flop with Spurs 5-6 years ago or whatever, coming from the Spanish league. And
3 years ago.
Yeah. So anyway, no, I mean Spurs underperforming right now, but I think that they will be able to come back and make a run at a cup and at the Champions League. I'm sorry, and at the league fourth place Champions League spot.
That's what you hope.
All right, guys, don't forget you're listening to Blokes on the Bench. We've got a special show running 90 minutes. We should be off about, 7:30 tonight? On our Twitter pages, our polls have now closed. BOTB Soccer, please do follow us. So our questions were, is David De Gea the best goalkeeper in the world right now? And 71% said yes. And goal of the week, Coutinho, with 100% thanks to Alex's vote.
We only got one vote on that?
One vote.
I thought there was...
I put it up later, though, so yeah, I was
so
not
many
surprised.
Goals that were just more team-oriented to me than stunning strikes. But let's talk about this De Gea thing real fast. What does the panel here think? I'd love to hear that. I voted yes. He is the best.
Yeah,
I voted yes.
People talk about him playing out of his skin. That's not him playing out of his skin. I think that was just him playing David De Gea.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll get to that in that match.
He is the best keeper in the world. Why do you think Real Madrid continually keeps coming after him?
But he's an Atletico Madrid fan.
Is he?
I think he is.
That's fine. It doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
There's a reason the biggest club in the world wants him.
Of course.
They're not calling Neuer. And granted, Neuer's German. So, like, to get Neuer out of Bayern, it's like with Mueller. Like, Mueller's probably not ever going to leave Bayern. They're probably never going to both leave Bayern.
All right, guys, the time is
German boys.
All right, guys, the time is almost 7:00. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. So the next game was Stoke versus Swansea. Swansea.
You could have turned it off after the second half started. You wouldn't have missed anything.
Just doggo. Absolute doggo. They got a goal, Bonnie, obviously. Good goal.
The third minute, I believe.
But not doesn't mean much when you lose 2-1.
Yeah.
And you're in the position you're in.
Bonnie's going to look great in the championship next year.
All right.
I think they'd sell him. But yeah, I mean Swansea, they were lucky to stay up last year. I thought they were playing pretty well towards the end of last year, and then this year you thought they'd turn it around, but losing Sigurdsson and a couple other players.
Yeah, I mean they Llorente sold their best
well.
Player.
Both best two players, Llorente as well. So like you lose your best two players. You get Abraham on loan from Chelsea. You get that other dude from
Sanchez,
who has all the talent in the world, but just isn't putting it together in the Premier League. I mean, it made sense from like on paper, but you know, you don't play the games on paper.
West Brom playing Swansea this weekend, so definite 6-pointer coming up here at the drop.
Yeah, so this one was pretty bad because Bonnie gets that first goal, which was nice. And then Stoke claw their way back into the game at home. Shaqiri gets one, and then Diouf gets one. I was surprised to see that Crouch got the assist on the second one. So he's actually starting in this game as opposed to coming off the bench, which is his normal kind of deal.
He's celebrating his contract extension to play another year, knocking balls down late in the game. Good to see. And I think he's the oldest player to score a goal in the Premier League coming off the bench in Premier League history. I'd have to further resource that. But
that's a mouthful right there.
I believe that's true.
Nothing else on that?
Meh.
Meh, meh, meh. All right, so the next game was Leicester City versus Burnley. And again, Leicester City, you know, crawling up there.
I can't believe Gray got up from that crashing into the post. I thought he split himself in half there. That was brutal.
Yeah, I had this game on and the Tottenham game on, and Harry Kane went flying into the post. And then moments later, and Harry was not injured, obviously, but Gray goes into the post, scores like a thigh goal, which is kind of weird, with a cross from Mahrez. And then he's down for significant minutes. I didn't have like a timer going, but it was at least 5 minutes, and he did not look good. But he came back on the field. Good for him.
Yeah, Leicester left a lot on the field. They had a lot of opportunities in this match. It's surprising it finished only 1-0.
Right. Well, there you go then. The end of that game. Okay, so the next game was interesting. First game, Sam Allardyce in charge. Mm. in the dugout. And they were playing Huddersfield. It's Huddersfield. It's
so bad for
2-0.
Huddersfield lately.
2-0. I love the hand signals.
I'm trying to remind Andy to tell everyone the score of the game.
Scores help.
Yeah, I know. Well, you guys can jump in too. All right, so Everton beat Huddersfield 2-0.
Have the wheels fallen off of all of these newly promoted sides? We hit December, 3 matches a week now. Things aren't looking so bright anymore.
Right, right. Especially if they're coming thick and fast. The weather's getting colder too.
And the weather's not nice to begin with. You know, this is like some of the worst games are going to come up. Oh, come on. England is... It's not Ireland.
We get the beautiful sunny.
It's not Ireland. Yeah.
There's a poll question for you.
32 degrees during the summer.
Clearly,
you know, there's a reason I've got this tan. There's a reason I'm tanned. Go on.
I don't even know what I was going to say.
I don't think there's a lot to say about this match.
Well, I mean, Everton
win. Know. Big Sam in his first game. I mean, that's big.
Nice team goal that Everton scored with Sigurdsson. He looks like maybe. Big Sam's a good influence on him, but it's just one match. I have a hard time knowing.
But it's
exactly.
not just one match. It's also you got to add in the fact that they crushed West Ham in the midweek. This
no,
is
what
two
I mean
the
is,
bounce.
Is that Big Sam is now in the dugout. So
yeah, but it was the spirit of Sam in the first one. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give him some credit on
Come
that.
Come on, don't slag off Unsworth like that. He's such a good guy.
Yeah, but you were also hating on him earlier, just like 30 minutes ago. So,
all right, let's move on. To Brighton versus Liverpool, it was 5-1 to Liverpool. This was just a thumping of Brighton.
The beautiful game.
There's a video earlier this year of Salah running, someone looking out from the dugout, and you just see Salah racing up the pitch. That guy, it's insane how fast he is along with all those other midfielders for Liverpool. They just run and run and run and run. And getting back to the earlier point, yeah, they can score goals, but can they stop them? They've run against some weak sisters here in the league recently, so they're thumping them. Let's see what that happens, if they can make that happen against the bigger sides when they come up.
Yeah, but this is also on the road in Brighton, where we've seen some of the big clubs go down.
Record crowd at Brighton for this match.
They score 5 goals, starting with a corner. Emre Can gets one off the corner. I mean, seconds later, literally 60 seconds later, it was an amazing counterattack. It was, Salah to Coutinho, who then crosses all the way back to Firmino for the tap-in. That was beautiful, beautiful football right there, a great counterattack. Later, Glenn Murray should have had, he got a goal later on the PK, but he should have had one with a nice cross and a volley, and he hits it right into, I'm not even sure which Liverpool keeper played. I assume it was Mignolet. Yeah, it was Mignolet. But anyway, yeah, I mean, so Murray should have had a goal there, and that would have made the game really interesting. It would have been 2-1 at that point, and then with the PK, it would have been 2-2, because Murray gets one not too long later. But then Coutinho with a cheeky, cheeky goal. Goal of the week, according to the poll, as voted by you, the people. AKA,
you, the people!
A.K.A. me, with the one vote. With a nice goal on the set piece where the wall jumps, and he just goes right under it, and, you know, that's just a nice one. And then dunk with an old goal for number 5.
Soccer unrelated, but on this day in 1965, Rubber Soul was released. The Beatles.
Really?
Wanted to say it. Yeah.
And also, was it today? There's the first, the 25th anniversary of the very first text message. Nothing to do with soccer. Very first
Nothing
text message was sent.
Nothing to do with Rubber Soul, Andy. What?
I know, but it's just a little bit of information there. 25 years.
A little bit of banter.
It's trivia night here. And,
the next time someone wants to unpack on my statistics and background, I'm going to bring up these interesting facts.
Rubber Soul changed my life. So
changed a lot of lives.
All right, guys. So any more on that game? Nope.
I mean,
all right.
I think Liverpool look pretty strong. I mean, right now they're...
Against Brighton, they look great.
Fair.
Yeah, just like we did against Huddersfield. Like, how did we look the other day?
But Liverpool are in fourth place. They are a squad that we've ridiculed them for lack of defense. They've had some pretty big wins recently, granted against lesser competition.
Yeah, you're the person who sat here a week ago talking about Manchester City, who have they played? Well, Liverpool, who have they played to get these wins? And I'm really going off the seat of my pants. Maybe they've got a big win in there somewhere.
Well, they played Arsenal and got beat, right? Or did they beat Arsenal?
No, they crushed Arsenal.
I was right, they crushed Arsenal. Yeah, right.
Crushed
one game.
Arsenal back early at the beginning
Sorry,
of the season.
Sorry, I just
season.
Thought I'd add that.
So, I don't know. I don't think the Merseyside derby coming up is going to influence my opinion of Liverpool.
Well, they
very
drew
much.
To Chelsea just last week. I mean,
they ought to win the Merseyside derby.
At home, they drew against Chelsea.
I mean,
And then the last time actually they lost, and I'm looking back here, was to Tottenham, which seems decades ago, October 22nd.
Yeah, because Spurs 4-1, haven't won in a long time.
4-1.
All right, so let's move on to the next game. Arsenal versus Man United. Obviously, United beat them 3-1. And here we go with, like, just we started this game. First 10, 15 minutes, we were literally just going at you guys. Valencia gets one in the first 4 minutes. Lingard,
you did what we should have done.
Huh?
Hmm?
Every time we play United, we come out timid, and we don't.
Not at home, you don't.
Game.
Not at home, you don't.
You guys were shell shocked. 11 minutes in, you're down by two. You guys didn't know what hit you.
Yeah. We should have come out guns blazing.
Easy to say, harder to do. I thought United looked really strong here, and this really just shows their quality. I thought. The goals early on were mistakes by, I thought Cech, the first one was pretty easy. It was a nutmeg on him. He should have saved that one. The Lingard goal in 11 minutes, that was a big mistake by Mustafi, I thought. Another gift.
Yeah.
And then after that, actually, I thought Arsenal played really well after that. I mean, they kind of got the wheels back going. They should have scored before the end of the half. I mean, they had countless chances. It was pretty amazing they didn't score.
Why is it that the goalkeeper is always the man of the match against Arsenal? I would like to hear everyone's opinion on this. Because
it was Superman.
So
it was Superman De Gea.
It's not just De Gea. It's like every game that Arsenal lose, it's like for some reason the goalkeeper is the man of the match.
Arsenal had 15 shots on target, one goal.
You sound like a United supporter last year with all the great keeping results that came up against them. The keeper against United every time saved everything. De Gea set the record or tied the record for 14 saves in this match.
13.
But there's so much to unpack in this match. When you get top six sides playing against one another, this was, I thought, as good of a match as you could get. I hate the result. I really was hoping for a draw.
Me too.
But United.
Not a draw, but I hate the result.
I wasn't.
And of course, Andy is wearing his De Gea jersey. I'm about to jump at him like a spider monkey.
United know how to go into Emirates and win matches. This is their eighth, which is the most any side has ever gone in to beat the Arsenal at the Emirates. I thought they were dominant in the way they needed to be dominant, even though Arsenal had 75% of possession. Their expected goals was over five. The aggregate score was supposed to be like 5-3, essentially. So Arsenal are really hard done, but United show why they're as good as they are. This was a big, big result for Mourinho and the crew.
But we've got to talk about Paul Pogba.
Oh, there's a lot to talk about Paul Pogba.
Pogba had an amazing game. Mm. Absolutely fantastic.
I'm really curious to hear this.
He had the assist on the first goal.
Because Koscielny allowed him to just take him to pieces, but go ahead.
He had the assist on the third goal to Lingard, which is, I think, the one you're talking about right there, where he just goes around him like he's
invisible.
Like, yeah.
And it's shameful. I mean, these defenders have to stand up better against opposition, and I know Arsenal's so much about finesse, but I'm standing there watching that match going, kick the ball. Get the ball away from this guy. He's as deep as he is in that position, and you're allowing him to dominate. And Pogba can dominate. I just didn't think in that particular place on the field he should have been doing what he was doing.
But so Pogba, every touch he had was sublime.
Not every touch.
Well, and then it was every touch until the 74th minute where he got he basically just stamped Bellerin. It was
petulant.
The ball was coming there, and Bellerin puts his leg down to kind of block it, and it ricocheted a little bit, but then, it was a clear red twice on Sunday.
Dead red.
And the crazy United supporters at a local establishment that I was at were adamant that it was not red.
No, it was a red. As a United supporter, it was a red.
Because it was accidental.
It's red, and it's retaliatory, and accidental means nothing.
Exactly.
Intent means nothing.
Exactly. Of course it doesn't.
I don't think he wanted to do that, but he did do it, and it's a red. Yeah.
We know that he's not that kind of player. Mourinho came out after the match and basically said that Koscielny politicized it to the official to give him the red, that he's not that kind of player. I didn't see it any other way. Again, trying to be objective. Obviously, I see things through a sky blue view, but at this point, it was clear to me, it was just brutal how he came in on it. And again, I love Paul Pogba for the most part, but this was really, really bad. And the fact that he does this right before the Manchester Derby.
Just silly.
It's just silly, right. And it takes away the sheen from the beautiful win that United get out of this match.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, overall, the game overall, I mean, a lot of the commentators were saying this was the game that kind of represents the like how good football can be.
Yeah, and I'm curious, do you think that? Because I don't. I don't at all. I mean, it was an interesting match, but it's just that United bias that comes through. I'm like, yeah, it was interesting.
You had two Arsenal guys on the team that kept defending Arsenal the whole way through that game.
Yeah, I just didn't see it, and I was enjoying a beverage or two as I was watching the match, and I was like, yeah, this is great. And then the sending off, you think Arsenal are going to be able to do it. They pull it 2-1, and you're thinking, okay, by the way, that Arsenal goal, absolutely awesome. How, and I forget who got the assist on it, brings the ball down.
Rambo.
I expected to hear Rambo coming from you. That he knocks the ball down to Lacazette, and he scores. I'd never see two players running free like that in front. Just the thought to knock the ball down to the player behind you. He's onside now because you've played him onside and knock the ball in.
I don't think he did it on purpose.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay.
Says a Spurs fan.
I mean, says anybody ever that's been in the six-yard box with the ball coming
in. I thought
in
he
like
did
that.
It intentionally, personally.
It didn't look like it.
Okay.
All right, guys, we have to move on. Bournemouth versus Southampton.
So I think what the early talking point is that Adam Smith dive, yellow card, PK shout, what was it? So if you didn't see it, Adam Smith coming into the right side of the box. The defender goes to the ground, clearly makes contact. Adam Smith maybe semi-elaborately goes down. And you know what? The ref gives him a yellow for simulation. Which was surprising. I mean, there was contact.
Shocking.
And the referee, apparently, in the interview with Adam Smith at the end, the ref said he apologized and it should have been a PK. Not as though it makes things any better. What the end result was? What was the final score?
1-1.
1-1. Yeah. Could have been the difference in the game.
Absolutely. I thought, and again, Fraser Foster had another great match. That guy's, is he in line to be the number one for England, or is he?
He's on the squad.
Yeah, but he's not going to get past Pickford?
How many keepers do they take? Two?
Three.
Three.
You take three, so.
All right, so anything else about this game, or is that, do we have to move on?
Charlie Austin getting it done. Guy's a machine. Love him.
Absolutely. All right, so let's move on to the last game, which was Manchester City versus West Ham. 2-1 to Manchester City. Pass it over to your blue.
Another tough day, right? I mean, City face...
Tough for who?
A team... City, because they face a team that's just going to bury themselves in the box. They're going to play a bank of 4 and 5 and not let City express themselves in any way, and that's what you have to do. Moyes had said before the match that West Ham were going to play aggressively and come out on the front foot. They absolutely didn't, but I get it, and they played City really well for that first half, not allowed them to do anything, and then they took their opportunity when they got it. City don't do well on free kicks or corners. We're seeing more and more balls get kicked to the near corner and then flicked on. So it's a little odd to see that City's having a hard time with these set pieces. Definitely makes me worry. Two big matches coming up in the next week with United and Spurs, with Swansea midweek. And Pep talked about how, you know, we're in December now. These matches are going to come fast and furious. Real Madrid drop points. Barcelona drop points. All these teams drop points. But Manchester City do not drop points. They continue to find a way to figure it out, even if it's at the end. And one of the mottos of Manchester City is, how can you beat a team that doesn't stop fighting until the end? And that's what we're doing right now. We're finding ways to win, even when Manchester City, and I will say this fairly, aren't playing very well. They just find ways to win matches at the death. Raheem Sterling saved us. David Silva saved us today with a wonder goal, which if any other side did something like that today, it would be all over the place, you know, front page of every sports section. I thought it was a gorgeous goal, and I will be a little biased in saying that. But it's a great result against a West Ham team who played so disciplined, so well. Hard done for them, but you know, as Daniel says every week, keep sitting back on Manchester City and see how that get, you know, what the result's going to be every time the team loses and Manchester City get through.
You know, it's so funny to hear you talk because you make it sound as though like the whole world's out to get City. Which I don't think City have made a lot of enemies over the years. It's kind of, you sound very defensive for some reason.
Well,
13 straight wins for City now. Yes, some of them have been late. You know, Sterling's saved them a good number of points. You know, Ogbonna got on the scoreline first and put him up, which was surprising. And then Otamendi brings you back to make it 1-1.
And he didn't know he scored. I thought that was so funny. That ball, like, kind of ricochets off his knee and goes in the net, and he's looking around. And I was like, do you know that ball went in the net? Obviously, the crowd going mental probably helped him. But it was a lucky first goal. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, 13 consecutive matches won in the Premier League. Ties Chelsea's record from last year, which I'm like, when did that happen? A year goes by so fast, I completely forgot that occurred. But it's a great result, and you know, I look at it just in that City don't get necessarily the glory that they deserve for doing what they're doing, because everybody wants to talk about the United and all these other stories.
No, I think most people are talking about City.
About City.
Everyone's talking about City.
If this was another team doing what they were doing, trust me, it would be. If this was Manchester United doing this right now, it would be much different.
All right, guys. Just so you know, guys, Ryan from last year is listening in, and he has put his word in. He says about De Gea and about the goalkeeping. He says De Gea could have saved the dinosaurs. So
I read that David De Gea could save a PDF on a David De Gea could save a PDF on a calculator.
Yeah, Ryan sent me that one too.
Really hilarious.
Hope you're doing well, Ryan. By the way, congratulations.
We really didn't talk about how excellent De Gea had a moment in that match where he saved a ball with his foot. And then a ricochet shot comes in, and he saves it with his hand. Just beautiful to see. Stunning. Absolutely stunning.
All right, guys.
McGregor, we miss you.
I know. We do miss him. He should come in. He should be here next week for the Cardinal event. Don't forget, guys, Cardinal Hall next Sunday, 9 a.m. Be there. All right? Be there.
Are we going to have
opening early for us.
Exactly.
Come.
Yeah.
Are we going to have links on our Facebook and Twitter page for the live stream that we're going to do with commentary and interviews with people that show up?
Do the interviews.
I'd love to do the interviews. I want to talk to everybody here in Charlottesville who loves the beautiful game.
All right, guys. The time is 20 past. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Welcome back. Don't forget, we are doing our special 90-minute show. So if you're tuning in to hear some EJR radio, we will be off air at 8:30, and of course, normal music will resume. You wanted to mention, Christian?
Just real quick, MLS final sets up with Toronto versus Seattle. Don't have anything much more to say about that. The conference finals weren't all that interesting, so it'll be interesting to see what happens out of MLS for this final, but not much more to say than that.
All right, we need to move on to World Cup. The draw was from the...
Friday, right?
The Kremlin.
Okay, so this is what I wanted to say before I forget.
What were you wanted to say?
So Mr. Diego Maradona was the guy that was pulling, you know, the names out of the hat, right? So he was wearing two watches. He always wears two watches, apparently. One set to his native time of Argentina, and one set to the time zone that he's actually in.
Very, very random.
Yeah,
it's
that is.
Diego
was that what you were basically trying to get
you
work?
Nope.
So we waited 80 minutes.
We waited.
I'm not done yet. God, let me finish.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so Gary Lineker is also part of this broadcast.
Yep.
Who's criticized
and
the FIFA so many times.
Somehow it comes up.
He took a pop shot out of
He said to the extent that Maradona is very good with his hands.
A reference to
the hand of God.
All
right.
The hand of frog. The hand of God.
All right. So let's talk. You're an England fan.
England fan, right here.
I'm an England fan. Although I support Republic of Ireland when they're
in. It was a good draw.
This was the perfect draw for England.
Perfect. The interesting
except for
thing,
Belgium.
Yeah, but you always have to have. There's always one other.
Yeah, there's always going to be one other good team. And Belgium is actually super interesting from a Spurs perspective. Mm. You basically have the Spurs offense.
You mean Ryan McLemore?
Which is all on the offense. The Spurs offense is all on England, and then the Spurs defense is almost entirely on Belgium. And so we've got a Spurs on Spurs action, and there's even an Instagram post.
Who's the captain of Belgium?
Vincent Kompany.
Who does he play for?
He should probably be dropped. Actually, I was making this comment with my brother the other day. their best squad probably isn't with him playing.
Because he just can't stay healthy. And
he's just like the Rooney situation that England had a few years ago, where he's your captain, so you're supposed to auto-start him, but we may actually be better without him.
We? How many wees do you get here?
I got we
England.
Well, I am English.
Yeah.
And I am Belgian.
He's got, right. Yeah, he's
so
got.
I can actually say we for Belgium as well.
So if America was in this, would you have a third? I'm just curious. I'm asking.
He was born in Canada, so no.
I would say we for Canada.
Did you have a British passport?
British passport, Canadian passport.
Would you not root for America?
We're a beat to those Canadians. Huh?
He kind of is James Bond. He looks like Daniel Craig, but with all these citizens.
My wife thinks you look like Cahill, by the way. Chelsea.
Cahill?
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
I could see that.
All right, so let's get back
So England had a great draw. They're in with Belgium, Tunisia, and Panama. So decent draw there. Definitely happy if you're an England supporter.
They've got to get
based
through
on what they had last 4 years ago.
Panama making their World Cup debut. Panama mm-hmm. and Iceland, two clubs making their World Cup debut.
We're not going to go through all the different groups because we don't really have time. I think the other group that I thought was really difficult was the one with Argentina. Here we go. Group D. Argentina, Iceland, Croatia, Nigeria. That's the group of death.
That's a group of death. Absolutely.
Yeah. Argentina and Nigeria seem to get drawn together in a number of World Cups. This isn't the first time they've been in the group together. Nigeria and Argentina also played a friendly not too long ago, and Argentina got thumped 4-2 with Iwobi chipping in two goals.
Oh boy, scoring two goals.
So
Obi-Wan.
I was going to say though about the England thing, though, that is a very good draw for England.
Sure,
because obviously
definitely.
I mean, and not only that, but you guys, I think the fixtures for England are you play on the 18th of June, you play Panama, the 24th of June, you play Tunisia, and then the toughest competition in our group, you play the 28th. So you play the first two first. You play Panama, Tunisia.
So that should be wrapped up by the time you play Belgium. Belgium's kind of like a dress rehearsal for the knockout stage.
And if you get through on top of the table, you play second in Group H, which, let's be honest, Poland, Senegal, Colombia, Japan. So yeah. It's probably going to be...
So we have pretty much a walk into the quarterfinals if we can perform, which I think is a big hit for England.
Yeah, but I don't know.
So we completely discount Panama, right? A team that gets out of Conmebol, who shows that they can go up against some of the bigger sides. They finished second in
Who have they shown they're good? I mean,
they finished second in Conmebol, so I believe that they've got the ability to show up and play these matches. United States discounted them. They've been discounted by a number of teams. I think this easy walk is a
didn't
little...
Didn't say it was easy walk. I just said it was a good draw for them.
Every team can
I thought I heard
anyone.
The words easy walk come through, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't think,
maybe I did. I don't know.
I don't think any team has an easy walk in a tournament.
Yeah, no, of course not.
These,
you can't discount any team.
Groups are tough.
Look at England when they played in the Euros and got beat by Iceland. I mean, you know, happens.
That was in the knockout stage. But
Right. I'm just saying, though, you're right.
Look at Iceland in their group. Like, Iceland is going to change that group.
Right.
Iceland, are probably on paper the fourth best team.
They're not going to make it through, but they're going to shape who makes it through that group. Absolutely, 100%.
That'd be an interesting wager right there, having Iceland to go
through.
Some
cheeky fivers?
Because Iceland have been playing really well, obviously. I like that dude Gudmundsson for Burnley as well. It's not just a Sigurdsson show these days. Other groups that are interesting, I mean, you got to talk about Russia, the hosts. They start off playing the first game against Saudi Arabia. You would think that they also are in there with Egypt and Uruguay. It sounds like a decently easy group.
Yep.
But actually, remember, Egypt, Mohamed Salah, and Uruguay has a number of talented players as well.
Suarez,
Saudi Arabia beat Japan and finished level on points in their qualifying group. And to me, I look at it and I'm like, there's no easy way out for anybody in any of these things.
Nope.
So who's your top?
It's a World Cup. It's a battle against the world.
Yeah. Who's your top four then?
Well, I think one of the groups we haven't talked about that is super hard is the Germany-Mexico group.
Group F, Germany,
Group
Mexico,
F, yeah.
Sweden, South Korea.
Sweden. I mean, does Ibra come back for the World Cup?
Oh, he should definitely make a...
No, I totally disagree with that. He had nothing to do with qualification for them, and he went on Instagram and posted something to the effect of, like, we did it, and people are like, we? Sorry, like, you didn't do anything with this.
Yeah, but
we did it.
Let's say U.S. make the World Cup. You say we.
No, it's a match. He was saying it.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ibrahim. It's all about him. For me, I think that this is about Spain and Brazil. I think those are the two sides that come through.
All right, guys, that's about it for this week. Don't forget, we are going to be doing our special event from Cardinal Hall this coming Sunday, 9 a.m., for both the Liverpool derby, so it's Liverpool versus Everton, which is at 9:15, and of course the Manchester derby, which is at 11:30. We're going to have goal nets outside for kids to play with. Aromas Cafe FC are going to be there, so it's going to be a good family event. Also, our Twitter page. Don't forget to check out our Twitter page.
Mark, they're opening early for us, so come out and support.
All right, guys. Let's do this. All right, so I'm Andy,
Alex,
Mark,
Christian.
Have a great week, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host Andy Richardson on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.